Thank you again for Pastor Martin the opportunity to come and share with you from God's Word. We count them as dear friends, and we're thankful again for the opportunity today to share from God's Word here today. Okay, you hopefully had a little booklet. This is just simple, just two sides of a paper folded together. The front side, which has the big print, Living a Life of Christian Stewardship, that's going to be for the morning service, so we're not going to fill that in yet. Open that up to the center, and you should see biblical areas of stewardship A to Z. We're actually going to get probably A to W this morning, not quite all the way to Z, because I don't really know if there's a good Z in the Bible regarding stewardship. Only thing I could think of would be zeal, and I'm not sure how you'd steward that necessarily, but we're going to look at some of these things. Mr. Holliday already led us in prayer this morning, but let's just take just a brief moment again to commit our time to the Lord as we begin today. Father, thank you again for the opportunity we have today to open up your Word. Thank you for the opportunity we have to look into the Scriptures today and to think on the topic of stewardship. God, I pray your blessing on our time today, that we would understand who you are as the Master. We are your servants. If we're in Christ, we're believers in Christ here today, we are your servants. We're also stewards. Help us to be wise managers, to be shrewd managers, to be careful managers of everything that you've entrusted us with, that the gospel might be proclaimed, the church might be built up, and you might be glorified. And we thank you again for what you'll do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, one other housekeeping item. How long do I have? When do I need to land the plane? 10:15 or 10:20? Okay. All right. We're gonna go at a little faster pace than I probably normally go at here today. So all right. Well, let me ask you a question as we start today. What's in your hand? All right, can you do this for a minute? Just hold your hands up like this. All right, some of you are holding up your hands. You ever tried to cup water? That's what I was thinking. You ever tried to cup water? It's hard to do, isn't it? But think of something being put in your hand. Okay, you can put those down, but just keep that thought in mind. That's intentional that you see that little picture, little graphic on there. That's a picture of hands. Imagine those as being your hands. And I like to do this when I'd go to the Guthrie County Jail and visit with inmates sometimes too, is remind them, first of all, that eternal life is a gift. To share with them that eternal life is a gift. I didn't mean to talk about that right away, but that's a good place to start, isn't it? If you celebrate Christmas or you celebrate birthdays, do you give your children gifts? Do you give Christmas presents to your grandchildren? Right, what do they have to do? They have to simply receive that gift, don't they? But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those that believe in his name, to as many as believe on his name. Right? So talking about salvation, are you thinking about that? That's a gift. What do you do with the gift? You receive it. Okay, very good. So we're thinking about this. I want that to be a repeated theme today. I'm going to ask it again and again. That's just for sake of emphasis. What's in your hand? Well, if you're a believer in Christ today, you've received that gift of eternal life. You're a possessor of eternal life. You have it right now. You don't have to wait to get it. You have eternal life. That's what the Gospel of John very clearly says. So this morning in Sunday school, and it's about the next half hour or so, I want to just broaden our understanding, maybe just a little bit. Some of you might have a better grasp. Your pastor might have a better grasp of stewardship than I do. Some of you might have a better grasp of stewardship than I do, but I hope this can broaden your understanding. And so that's what it's entitled Understanding a Life of Christian Stewardship. This wasn't planned, but let's share this. This is a great overall verse 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And I didn't hand this out, so I'm just going to read it here. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Okay, so it's not hard to figure out what a servant is, but stewards, the mysteries of God, just let's just say that the gospel, just for the sake of simplicity. That's the gospel, the message of God's word, the message of Jesus. So servants of Christ, stewards of the mysteries of God, and then verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. So that's what's required of stewards. So we need to define what a steward is. So if you have your handout, look with me in definition of a steward. This is my own definition. A steward is one who is entrusted with the resources of his master, who is to wisely and carefully manage those resources in the way specified by his master in order to benefit the master. So let me rephrase that. A steward is one who is given something to take care of. So with kids, Frankie, I'm a wanderer. I'm already a wanderer. You're already discovering that. If kids, how many of you, I'm just going to do this. How many of you are on a farm? You're on the farm. All right, you've got a great lesson right there with kids, learning how to take care of livestock. Okay, you don't have to get them a pet. If you live in the city, you have to go get a pet. You got to get a hamster or something for your kids to take care of. Beyond the farm, you got that taken care of already, right? You're learning to take care of their taking care of their parents' stuff, their parents' livestock, aren't they? I have this dream sometimes about having chickens again. We've been in town for the number of years, and we're both from the country. And I just dream about having chickens again. That's my little dream that I have. But taking care of something. You're a steward of it. You're taking care of someone else's stuff, their property, their possessions. And you're to wisely and carefully manage those resources. Okay, I remember as a kid, I had to go out and to bring food out to the chickens. I had to bring water to them. And I had to collect the eggs. Sometimes as a 4 or 5 or 6 year old, I wasn't really good at the part about collecting the eggs. Sometimes I put it in the little galvanized pail that my parents had for me. Other times, I tried to stuff as many eggs as I could in my pockets, my pants pockets. By the time I made that walk to the house, I just had that wet feeling on my pockets there. Okay, I wasn't a real good steward of taking care of the eggs at that point. Hopefully, I wouldn't repeat that lesson here now, like quite that same way. You're to benefit the master, taking care of someone else's. You want them, their whatever they have, to flourish and to do well. So, just as we saw, if you were following along in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ, right? If you're a believer here, you're a servant of Jesus Christ, and you're a steward, you're one who takes care and manages the property of someone else. Whose property is it? It's God's. What's in your hand? What has God given you to take care of? It's great to give kids responsibilities, even when they're young. Sometimes it might be that tissue, the Kleenex that they've dropped on the floor. Pick that up and put it in the trash. Or it might be, when you're done with supper, take that and bring your dishes by the sink. Put them next to the sink in the kitchen. That can be all they can handle at that point. I can't remember how many times that our kids would try to grab too much and they've dropped half of their things on the floor and they have to go and do it again. But you know what they're learning? They're learning stewardship, taking care of things that belong to someone else. So here's our proposition. Here's what I want us to learn. Believers must understand the stewardship that has been entrusted to them by God. Now, let me ask you, parents or grandparents, would you let anyone take your young daughter or your teenage daughter on a ride in a car? Can you think of some people? Don't name the names, please. Can you think of some people or sort of people that you would not want to take your, maybe you just have one daughter. I have two daughters, and I have two grandchildren, one granddaughter just recently born, just within a week and a half or so. Anybody that you wouldn't want to drive your only daughter somewhere? I'm guessing it's probably because you don't think that they would be a good steward and take care in it. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be faithful, trustworthy. So we need to understand the stewardship that has been entrusted to us by God. And let me just say one thing. Pastor Martin asked if I would talk about stewardship. I started back in January. I'm normally a really good procrastinator. And I've been out of pastoral ministry actually since December. And I've been working too. And I'm already feeling it. I have a little arthritis maybe in my hand starting already too. But this is what I've been thinking about for the last 3 or 4 months. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you here today too, as I've thought about it again. This is what I put my energies into. All right, let's start right A to Z as we go down this list here today. Some of you have been in the military. When you get something, you get supplies or whatever, this is how they list them. This is how they list them, just like this here. Daniel chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. So Daniel 1, 3 and 4, and then somebody can be ready with Acts 7, 22. So Daniel 1, 3 through 4. Okay, thank you, Shauna. So as we think about things here, do you know what? Each of us are born with natural abilities. In our family, some are born with natural abilities in mathematics. I am not one of them. I don't have that ability. I struggle. I can do basic addition and maybe some multiplication. Algebra, geometry, anything beyond that, I don't have it. But some of you have that. And look at Daniel and the Hebrew children that were taken off to Babylon. You know what? The king selected them because of their natural abilities. That's why they were selected. And all of us, doesn't matter who we are, doesn't matter what our age, what our education level might be, what reading level we're at or whatever, all of us have some sort of natural abilities and talents to use. And we need to take those and use those for the glory of God. That's something that has been given to us, right? Again, I'm just thinking things that are naturally given. But there's also special abilities. Somebody has Acts 7:22. You read that, please. All right. So Moses in particular, and we could dovetail that, continue to build off that with the Hebrew children. Okay, they had the natural abilities. And guess what? Somebody invested in them in education. You know what? Moses was very well educated. And I think it's ironic because I heard that too. Moses was afraid to do what? What was his greatest fear when he'd go before Pharaoh and the children of Israel? To speak, and it says he was eloquent. I forget what it says in that text again, too. Isn't that ironic again, too? I think Moses underestimated his abilities before God. And that prevented him from using those abilities. He said, I can't speak. But look at the assessment given him in the New Testament. He's a good speaker. He was trained in word. Some of you have some natural abilities. Some of you have some specialized training. I'm an electrician. Could I use that to help other people? Could I use that to be a blessing? Because you can serve God with whatever ability. You can serve God with mathematics. Let me just put it out to you. How could someone serve God with mathematics skills? Okay, church accounting. Someone has to keep the books. And you know what? It's good if they do a good job at it too. Yeah. What else? Even one other, one or two others. What was it? Wow, isn't that cool? Do you know what that is? That's helping one another in the body of Christ. That's awesome, wonderful thing. Okay, so special abilities. What's in your hand? What do you have of abilities that can serve God and others? All right, third would be body, specifically your body, my body. And we're going to have some of these in rapid fire. Romans 6, 12 through 13, and then 12, 1. And those other verses listed too, if you have those. Romans 6.
Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God.
Okay, then Romans 12, 1. All right, now I'm just going to jump right to 1 Corinthians 9:27 for the sake of time. So 1 Corinthians 9:27. Did I give that out? All right, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. All right. So, and I'm not trying to cast anybody under the bus here today too, but describe to us what do you think the general way that people think about their bodies, and you see it in the way that they use their bodies, I guess if I could put it that way. Describe what's the way that the world thinks about the body and what people are to do with their bodies. Okay, all right. Boy, did that summarize it, Sean, right there? It's my body. I can do whatever I want. My body is my toy. I can do whatever I want to my body. Well, if you're a believer, you are bought with a price. And because you're bought with a price, what are we to do with our bodies? We're to glorify God with them. We're to present our bodies. You know what the language is to present our bodies is? That's from the Old Testament when they would go and present an offering on the altar. Now, don't think for a minute that it actually means we're supposed to go sacrifice our body in an altar somewhere, right? No, it's talking about the fact that we need to yield our lives and even our bodies up to God. And it doesn't matter what sort of condition they're in. And there could be a lot that could go along with that, but to give even our bodies back to the Lord. And what would be some implications or applications of that, their bodies belong to the Lord. Okay, taking care of it. What else? Yeah. A couple of years ago, I watched a video, someone in our circles, and they said, we're not going to use that text that I talked, read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20, that's your temple, the Holy Spirit. You know, I think that is the primary passage. One of the primary passages, how we should deal with our bodies. Now, you know what, if people have those things on their bodies, sometimes, you know what that is a reminder? That's kind of like, I don't have really good ones. Some of you have really good ones. I have one scar here, right here, on this one. That's another mark of stupidity. When I was a teenager, and I was cleaning a deer and trying to butcher out a deer, I don't remember, so many of my scars are from deer hunting. So I'm thinking about it. I've got one. I'm not going to tell you the story. There's enough time for it today. That's what I think sometimes. If you have those things on your body, and maybe you say, oh, I wish I don't get those. You know what? Let that be a reminder of God's grace and how He can forgive us too. But how should we think? I think that's where it goes. It's the Lord's body, and I need to yield it to Him. All right, let's keep going for the sake of time. Children, not someone else's specifically, but your children, if you're a parent. Let's just, for the sake of time, we're going to go to Proverbs 22:6 and then Ephesians 6:4. So Proverbs 22:6. Okay, then Ephesians 6:4. Okay, so let's not lose sight of this. Sometimes people say, is that verse from Proverbs, is that an absolute promise for us? You know what, the point is that we need to train our kids. We need to train our kids in God's way. So you may or may not have children. You may have children someday, you may not. You may not have that opportunity. But if you do have them, what's in your hand? Children? And actually, we're into the point where we have grandchildren. Now, granted, having children, they are yours. They are, I have children, they are my responsibility when they're under, in my home, when they're, you know, such and such an age. They're under my home and they're my responsibility. And if you have grandchildren, you don't have that same level of responsibility with them. Like they're yours, you know, 24/7. But can you invest in your grandchildren? Oh, I hope so. Sometimes you have, you know, it might depend how close they live. You know, whether your adult children are living for the Lord or not. What's in your hand? If you have children, if you have grandchildren, there's something that God has given to you to very carefully steward, train up in the ways of God. All right, let's keep going here. Next, church, pastors to shepherd. Somebody has Acts 20, 28, and then I think we're going to go, did I give someone Hebrews 13, 17? Have that? Okay, let's go to Acts 20, 28 first, and then Hebrews 13, 17. Okay, all right, thank you. Then Hebrews 13, 17. Okay, so thinking about that, thinking of that for myself as a pastor, having been a pastor and Lord willing to be a pastor again, it's a big responsibility to be a pastor because I'm responsible for those that are under my care. And you know what I'm going to have to do? I have to shepherd, feed them, shepherd them well. And I'm going to give an account to God when it comes that day. So that's a pretty sober thing. I think of how many pastors I know that have been in ministry and they've had all kinds of health problems. And I'm looking at this from a distance. And some of them are out of ministry. And I know some of them are out of ministry because of the heavy burden they bear. So that's the responsibility that I carry and your pastor carries to shepherd the church of God. I'm not going to get on your responsibility. I'm just saying it's a big responsibility that they bear. All right, next is employment, Colossians 3:23. So Colossians 3:23. All right, so we have a stewardship in our employment. My first real job, was as a dishwasher at Sue's Sweet Shop in the little town that I grew up in. It's a dishwasher. Does it matter if I do a good job as a dishwasher? Yeah, I bet when you come there to have a cup of coffee or you come to have a piece of pie and you pull that plate out, it's like, ew. You know, sometimes I know you, Uncle Don would say it's a greasy spoon. You ever been there before and you're like, they didn't clean those well enough, right? So does it matter if you're an airline pilot and you do a good job? You hope so. I plan to be flying in August. I hope that airline pilots are good at their job. How about a surgeon? Yeah, pretty obvious. I hope they do a good job. I hope they do it heartily. As the Lord, it ought to man. If you're a believer in Christ and you have an employment, you're given, even let's say, even for young people, you're given a job to do. Do it heartily, as the Lord and not to men. I remember there was a lady in our home church up in Minnesota. She cleaned toilets. She did it heartily, as the Lord and not to men. That's what you need to do if you're employed. You have a job to do in some sort of a way. By the way, if you have some sort of job to do in the church, even too, how should you do that? Heartily, as the Lord and not to men. Right, so remind you of that too. All right, next page, top of that page. Gifts, spiritual. Okay, Romans 12, 6 through 8, and then 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11, first part of verse 11. So Romans 12, 6 through 8, if somebody has that, please. Okay, there's a whole list of spiritual gifts that are given here in this particular place. I know there's another list given in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but this is one of my favorite list of this here too. I'd say perhaps maybe just one of these gifts is no longer active in the church today, and that may be prophecy. If that's in the sense of someone actually could come up and stand in a church service, I hope that doesn't happen here today where someone stands up notes to the congregation and start saying, "I have a message from God," and they're telling something like that. If it's in this sense, that's no longer active today. These are the revelatory gifts, the sign gifts, okay? And a lot of those are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But if these are spiritual gifts, what's a spiritual gift? A spiritual gift is a gift. This is the word charisma, where we get the charismatic from. Don't think about the excess. Does somebody think of spiritual gifts? We think of all those strange things. I remember being in one of my siblings' churches years ago, and I was probably, I don't know, about 8 years old or something, and all of a sudden somebody stood up in the church and they started, sound like they had inhaled helium. And they were trying to speak some African language. I thought, what is this? No, spiritual gifts are something that you receive at the moment you're born again. The moment of your salvation. And the spiritual gifts are given for the benefit of the body of Christ to serve one another. And a bunch of those things are listed. 1 Peter, the verses from 1 Peter, if you would please. 1 Peter 4. Okay, so let me just give you this little thing. Spiritual gifts, there are two, getting the right number of fingers up, two broad categories of spiritual gifts. Speaking gifts and serving gifts. Speaking gifts and serving gifts. Peter says this, doesn't he get it in the right passage? Okay, let me back up. Who's received a gift according to those verses that were just read? Each one. Doesn't matter who you are. If you're truly saved, you have at least one spiritual gift. And what do? You just serve with that, minister it to one another as a what? What was the language used there again? As a good steward. The manifold grace of God. You know what that means? God has distributed a variety of gifts within the church. You, ma'am, may have a gift that I don't possess. You, sir, may have a gift that she does not possess. It might be a different kind of gift. I have no idea what kind of gifts you have. I don't know you at all. You may have a serving gift where you can serve in others. You might not be able to speak people. You might stumble over your word. I have no idea, right? You may be a good speaker and actually able to talk with people. Doesn't mean you're a pastor necessarily. It might even be in private conversation that you're exhorting one another. Sometimes using God's word and speaking it. You know what? Look what Peter says in verse 11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If you're standing behind a pulpit, or you're teaching a classroom, or you're having a Bible study, or you're just speaking one-on-one and encouraging someone else to keep on, that would be a speaking gift. Or serving gifts, those are kind of self-explanatory, aren't they? Where you're showing mercy to others. You know, I think maybe, how about after the tornadoes we had in Creston, or, you know, I was hearing the tornadoes by Harlan, I'd heard about those too. And you say, you just have to go help those people. And you just have that burden to go help them. I wonder if that's showing mercy. It's a gift that you've been given. Now, you know what? Does that exempt the rest of us who aren't necessarily merciful by nature to not show mercy? Of course not. But that's a special spiritual gift that we've been given. So each of you has a spiritual gift. We use those on behalf and for the benefit of the body of Christ. All right, number 8, sharing the gospel. You know the Great Commission, Matthew 28. We're going to skip that for the sake of time, but how about 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5, and then 1 Corinthians 9:16, and then 1 Thessalonians 2:4. So 1 Corinthians 3:5 and 9:16 first. Okay, then 1 Thessalonians 2:4.
But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, who tests our hearts.
Holding my hands up for those that might be listening to a recording at some time or another. Holding my hands up together. So there's a special sense that preachers of the gospel are responsible for the ministry. They're entrusted with the gospel. They're going to give an account for it. But let me ask you, has the gospel only been given to preachers? Who has it been given to? The church. Everyone who's a born-again believer has been given the gospel. So you might be one of those, well, I don't have a speaking gift. I think I have more of a serving gift. Well, can you share your testimony? Oh, this is really cool. We were up in Minnesota last weekend, and there was someone, I think, who had some handicap, these kind of handicap. And when I said John 3:16, somebody know John 3:16? The lady stood up and recited it with gusto. Could she share the gospel? You know what I think my problem is sometimes when I haven't shared the gospel? Number one, I'm not walking in the Spirit. I'm not being empowered by the Lord. I'm not seeking Him. But sadly, I think I've been ashamed of Jesus before. I've been ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Oh, how sad. Because I and you have been entrusted with the gospel. You know, there's only two things that are eternal. You've got to get the right number of fingers again. I'm not good at mathematics. Two things are eternal: the Word of God and the souls of men and women. We have the Word of God. We can give that message in the gospel to the souls of men and women. Wow. Our time is slipping away. All right, we're just going to summarize these, a lot of these, for the sake of time. Do I have 20 after? Is that, can I do that? All right, okay. Romans 12:2. Somebody know Romans 12:2. Can you quote it? Okay. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Okay, so what are we to do with believers with our mind? What are we to do? We're to have a transformed mind, to let our mind constantly be renewed. And what's the means of that renewal of our mind? By the Word of God, by God's Word. Why on earth would a person go to church three times on Sunday? Why would they go on Wednesday nights? And I have to admit, Wednesday nights are my hardest service to get to. I'm being reminded of that again when I'm working a job. It's hard to get to Wednesday nights. I'm tired when I get there. Why would I go again on Wednesday night? Because I want a renewed mind. I'm a steward of my mind. What's this is kind of a bad picture, isn't it? What's in your hand? Your mind, in a sense, right? Isn't that really scary to think about that? We're not going there. But you, those other verses again too. Set your affection, set your thinking, your thoughts on things above, not on earth, right? Again, thinking about our mind. Philippians 4:8. Anybody yet know Philippians 4:8? I confess, I don't have that memorized. I know it's a good one. Meditate, think on these things. That's talking about our mind. All right, money. We're going to talk, we'll just briefly allude to this first. Del Mohler was here for several days. I have almost nothing to say about money that you probably haven't heard already, right? That's another area. What's in your hand? Hopefully all of it, too. Hopefully you're not, we don't have that temptation like Ananias and Sapphira to say, I'm going to keep some back for myself. I'm going to make it look like I'm giving everything. How'd that go for them? Not so well. Not so well for Ananias and Sapphira. Your pastor. All right, we have several here. 1 Corinthians 9, 7, 11, and 14. So 1 Corinthians 9, 7, 11, and 14. Yeah, verse 11, ma'am. Verse 11. All right, so I've been thinking about this lately, and in the Old Testament, the Levites and the priests, how did they make their living? They were servants of God, and you know they made their living by the offerings that God's people brought to the temple, to the tabernacle, to offer up to God. They got to partake in that. Their ministry was a spiritual ministry. Pastors have a primarily spiritual ministry in the Word of God. That's their primary ministry. That's what 1 Timothy, the verses that I refer to there, speak about those who labor in the word and doctrine. I'm debating whether to tell this, but I'm the visiting preacher, I can tell you. So I'm not trying to myself. Most of the time on Sunday mornings, when I'm doing it, I'll be up at 3:30 or 4 in the morning, and I've been at it all week. Your pastor works hard to bring you fresh bread on Sundays. You know what you can do for your pastor? Take care of him. Be generous with him. Take care of him and his family. He didn't ask me to say that, by the way. But if I don't say it, who else is going to say it? He's not going to say it. Take care of your pastor. All right, we're just going to summarize these again, too. So what are some of these other areas here? And I was knowing how the time would go here. And, well, okay, anybody know Ephesians 5:16? Redeeming the time, right? So we're trying to redeem the time today, and part of that will mean that we need to stop. But, you know, there's our relationships with believers. Those are particularly important for us. Do you cherish the relationships that you have with your brothers and sisters in Christ, especially in your local church? Hope you do. Unbelievers, we have opportunities to share Christ and to be salt and light in the world that we live in. You know what? People need Jesus in our world today. And let's conclude with this, is Acts 4:34 through 35. So somebody has Acts 4:34 through 35. Would you read that, please?
Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the
Okay, thank you. So, by the way, I preached through Acts. That was one of the last series that I went through. I didn't make it through. I think I made it to about chapter 18 or 19 or so out of the 28 chapters in Acts. And this is one of them. I thought, this is neat. Does the Bible teach communism? Is that what it's teaching here, is communism? Well, communism says, you have stuff, and it needs to be distributed evenly, so let's come and forcibly take away your stuff and share it with everyone. You know, actually, who it gets shared with? Those at the top. That's what communism does. Takes your stuff and gives it to other people forcibly. This actually was, I'm going to call it commonism. Not communism, but commonism. Where when there was real needs within the church, in the early church, if you were going to become a believer in Jesus in Jerusalem, you were going to forsake Judaism, and everybody thought you were forsaking everything. You're not even a Jew anymore if you become a follower of Jesus, aren't you? And what did that lead to? Persecution. Great persecution. And you know what the believers did at that point? Said, those are my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm going to take what I have, and I'm going to care for them, meet those needs that they have. So, you know what? I think those days may be coming again. Well, ironically, we're communism, and I'm just going to say it that way, and forgive me, can I talk about politics, Pastor? Okay. It's just the world we live in today, where they come in and say, we're going to take your freedoms away, and we're going to force you to do this, force you not to worship, we're going to do all these things against you and make it miserable for you and your family. You know what we need to do then? We need to band together and to help one another at that point. And it may be that people wind up fleeing from communist states like, I'm not going to list the whole state, but, you know, they come here to Iowa because they have freedom in Iowa. And I don't know. I don't know where to look. I have no idea. I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. But whatever we have, what's in your hand? What's in my hand? We're servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. What do you have? And I'm going to ask you the question, do you understand what you've been given by God? Father, thank you again for this time. Thank you for the time in your word to think of these things here today. Lord, we, the Bible says to whom much is given, much will be required. And the more we've been gifted, the more we've been entrusted with, the more that you will require of us on that day of accounting. Help us to remember that. Lord, no matter what we have, who we are, we've been entrusted with something, with the gospel, with the spiritual gift, at least one. We have some resources. Lord, help us to use those for your glory. And we might see the gospel proclaimed and the church of Jesus Christ and believers built up in the most holy faith. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.